This is News from the Peak. I'm Joe Mamlin. Today's show will be part one of a multi-part series featuring women in leadership. On today's show, Maureen Life has a conversation with Erin Frisch, who is the Child Support Director for the State of Michigan and the current president of the National Child Support Engagement Association, and Tangela Gray, who is the Commissioner of the Federal Office of Child Support Services. The three of them reflect on their participation on several very popular and very impactful workshops on women in leadership. This leads, of course, to a deeper discussion on their own experiences and on the challenges that women face in leadership roles and in attaining those leadership roles. If you haven't had the opportunity to attend one of these workshops, I highly recommend it. It's excellent information and can be very impactful for women and men alike. Of course, we all see things from our own perspective, but from any perspective, the challenges and issues they discuss are something I believe we can all relate to. So on this episode and the next part of this series, you'll get an inside look at the topic and an even better, an inside look at these very impressive leaders in our profession. It's going to be a great show, so stick around and we'll be right back.
By the way.
And I didn't want to repeat the panel, but as I was reflecting on the panel conversation, the one thing that kind of stuck out to me was how many people, so we each told a little bit of our story in all these conferences. And then we facilitated a lot of conversation with the audience, and they also networked at their own tables. And then when we were on those breaks, people kind of came up to each one of us, and our stories resonated with each, you know, a little bit of our stories resonated with everybody in different ways. And so I was wondering if you had that reflection or kind of what your takeaway was, you know, on those networking breaks, what people said to you afterwards and how your story resonated with them.
So I can get started. The answer to your question is yes, I did have a similar experience. And I don't know why, I can't explain why, that I was surprised with some of the comments that people shared during the networking break. I just heard things like people really appreciated me being open and honest about my story, how they had gone through maybe a similar experience and did not feel comfortable with sharing it openly. I even had one person to say, oh my God, I can't believe that that happened to you. So yes, I had the experience and I think I was uplifted with some of the feedback and comments, but I did want to just add something else as well, Maureen. I think our panel sharing their experience helped me to learn more about the people on the panel. I have worked with these people for years, but your stories help me to see you in a different light, one with struggles that I wasn't aware of.
I love that.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I thought it was just as enriching for me to hear everyone else's stories as it was for the people in the audience to hear your stories. And you know, there was a moment that I remember distinctly at one of the conferences. Typically, when I introduce myself, I'll introduce myself with my pronouns, and I use she and they pronouns. And someone was in the lobby of the hotel, and they're shouting my name across the lobby, and they're like, "Erin, Erin, run up to me!" And they're like, "We, I just want you to know how impactful it was for me to hear you say your pronouns, and you know, thank you for representing." And I was like, "I don't mean to be representing necessarily, but." That was just a really special moment for me when someone was like, that mattered to me as a non-binary person making my way through the world. So that was when that stuck out to me. And we had a lovely little conversation after that. And then I had a lot of folks who shared with me that they had also struggled with their mental health and the ways in which that has felt like something we can't talk about. That is something we're supposed to keep private and separate from work. Just a recognition that many, many, many of us are, I don't like to say struggling with mental health, but I think working through mental illness in a variety of ways.
Yeah. Well, and I felt the same. We met as a panel several times and talked about like the logistics of the session and how we would facilitate, but we never like practiced our little, you know, our story, our 5-minute kind of intro. And so, like, every single, and we did it multiple times, but every single time I heard, we did it a little differently. Like, we were just really authentic in the moment. And every time I heard it, I got emotional. I always went last or close to last, which was never helpful. Because I always felt so just in awe of everyone that was on the panel. And so by the time they got to me, I'm like, what would I have to add to these amazing women's stories? And my experience was after we were kind of walking around people, the thing that resonated with a few folks from my story was like, I tried to cover up some of it with humor, telling the story about like the firefighters taking care of the kids while I was stuck in court. But like, feeling like you're not enough, like when you're a working mom and you're trying to balance kids and husbands and like PTA and like feel like you were going to school. And so all of a sudden people were, you know, like, yeah, I have felt that like I'm not good enough at work, I'm not good enough at home. And so I just felt like this camaraderie of other people that had felt that same feeling. And so it was really powerful hearing all of your stories and then also just connecting with other people that had felt the same way that I really admired. So you kind of answered this question because one of my thoughts was how, you know, like how it impacted us personally. And I was surprised at how long, like I still think about those stories. I still think about the people that we connected with. And was curious if you guys had had that. It was the most powerful like presentation I've ever done where you think about it for a long time afterwards. And I don't usually have that.
Well, one thing I will say is even though we did it multiple times, it never felt rote. It never, you know, it one of the things I loved about that experience was that it felt very organic and, as you said, sort of in the moment. And really, you know, use the energy in the room from the people who were there in each session. And I thought that was really a very cool thing. And I think that's part of what has stuck with me, kind of going forward, is we had some really good energy in that room. And some days when I'm feeling like I need some good energy, thinking back to those sessions is helpful.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, I appreciate that too. I do want to echo what Aaron said about it not feeling, you know, like a canned response or presentation. Every time felt, you know, genuine. And then I think, Maureen, the biggest thing I really want to lift up about thinking about it after the fact is I like to kind of keep my personal and professional life separate, and my personal life more private. And so sharing these things has really helped me do a better job of opening up. And accepting myself, how a lot of things that happens in our personal life spill over to our professional life as well.
Yeah, and I wonder on that that topic, it makes me think of, you know, we use this word authenticity a lot. And Tangela, when you were talking, I kept thinking, like, that's us showing up with authenticity, right? Is being able to recognize that, you know, that it isn't as compartmentalized as sometimes we want to try to make it. And I also recognize that for some folks, you know, this idea of I'm gonna try to be as authentic as possible in my work life comes with significant risk. And that depending on, you know, your identities and your communities, for some folks that can be riskier than others. And so I just think there it takes still, it takes courage to show up with and share some of those personal stories. But what it does is it somehow inspires others to also be courageous. And I think that is part of the synergy that happens when we have when we are able to create spaces to have these kinds of conversations.
Yeah, that's really well said, Erin. I felt like there was such strength in that room that it was like palatable. Like it felt so strong. And I think that sometimes women are seen like we have to be these like shells, like not emotion, because showing emotion is weak. And I felt like we broke that barrier to say you can be extremely strong. Like strength is being vulnerable. And like meeting people where they're at and being authentic. And so, yeah, I love the way you said that. It's hard to be vulnerable in a room full of women, but I mean, mostly women.
It's hard to be vulnerable, period, because the expectations on women, in my opinion, are so unrealistic and unfair.
Yeah, say more about that.
Yes, I was just gonna say the same thing. Tell me more.
Well, okay, I've been listening to these different podcasts about leadership, and even though they don't focus just on women in leadership, it really surprises me, even in 2024, how there's this expectation on professional women to demonstrate masculine energy in an effort to be looked at in an equal fashion. You know, if we are emotional, if we're having children, you know, things of that nature is associated with weakness. But to your point, Maureen, and I don't want to turn this into a spiritual conversation, but even that we have spiritual verses that clearly communicate that it takes strength to be kind to a person who doesn't deserve it. It takes strength for women to be able to work and still maintain a household. The expectations on women sometimes are unreasonable, but even with those unreasonable expectations, women continue to exceed the ceiling every time in a variety of ways. And so I just appreciate this one opportunity to demonstrate that with members of the panel.
Yeah, you know, I was having a conversation yesterday with some folks about empathy and about the importance of building empathy, particularly in the Jobs Board program. And you know, one of the things I said was you can't ask others to be empathetic unless you've already been empathetic with them, right? Like it is something you have to pour into someone before they are able to show empathy, I think. And so and I think women are naturally good at thinking about what is it, what would it be like to be in somebody else's shoes? And I think more and more we're figuring out that that's what great leaders need to be able to do. And in that way, I think women have an advantage, honestly, because most of the most empathetic leaders I know happen to be women. Not exclusively, but mostly. And I think it is partly because we have, one, been on the other side of not receiving empathy, so we know the difference. And we've had to, through life experiences, been able to build that strength so that we can show empathy to others in a authentic way. I think also the definition of leadership is somewhat skewed towards masculine traits, as you said, Tangler. And I have thought a lot in the last few years about sort of this stereotype of a leader that they have to be out front, in charge, have all the answers, be able to, be always all together, always on, always calm, cool, and collected, right? Like that stereotype of a leader, I think it's fake. I don't think anybody, even men, are that type of leader. And everything that we do, I think that sort of helps push against that stereotype and recognize that leaders are humble. It's okay for leaders to not know all the answers all the time. That it's okay for leaders to have bad days, or hard days. And that helps us show up more human, and it helps our team show up more human. So, I think there's a lot of, I've always had trouble with the word strength, because strength to me sort of connotates might. And I really don't, I feel like strength is what you said, Maureen. It's being vulnerable. It's being soft. Strength is not hard. Strength is soft. And that is a, I think, a hard concept for many people to kind of get their heads around.
Yeah, that's really important. And I love how you both framed that so well. Because one of the questions I was going to ask you was, and you touched a little bit on this, is why was this an important topic for you to present on? Both of you get asked to speak at a lot of sessions because you have such a broad range of expertise in child support. But you both chose this particular session. And it would have nothing to do with Christy wrangling us. But why was this a topic that you felt like you wanted to be involved with? Or why is this an important topic to present at a child support conference, let's say?
Well, I think all of us, I don't want to say I am. I just think every last one of us, along with others, are very passionate about the program. So it's easy to really talk about case management and performance and, the service delivery. Those topics are easy to really and truly discuss and really just get inundated with the details. As you branch out and start talking about leadership, that's when things get a little bit more difficult to communicate. Not necessarily what's perfect based on what Erin said earlier, but just how we want to utilize leadership tools to advance the mission of the program. And then for me, Maureen, the reason why this topic resonated with me is because it's not just about my passion for the program. It's not just about how we can use leadership tools to advance the mission. It provided me with an opportunity to speak to my experience in a variety of leadership roles while doing my job. Experiences that others may not be aware of because people just make assumptions, about how great and perfect our jobs are, which is not the case.
Well, and that we the how great and perfect we are, right? Like, I think it's important for folks to know that we make mistakes too, that we are human too, that we have terrible ideas sometimes, that I'll speak for myself at least. And
Not a
that,
bad idea.
it helps, I think it helps humanize us, and that makes it
Yes.
easier for other people to see themselves in those positions one day,
Yes.
right? And so
Yes.
that's one of the things I think is was really important for me, because I can clearly remember being, new to this program, not knowing anybody, and looking up to folks at that time, and feeling like that was like those people were in a different stratosphere than I would ever be in. And they somehow had some magic that I did not have access to that put them in that realm. And over time I've realized that that's not the case. But I think for folks who are newer in their careers, it can be hard to see the path from where you are now to some of these leaders in the program. And reminding everyone that we are human beings helps, I think, folks see that path. But Maureen, I'm interested for you to let me say this. The other reason why I did the session is because I love this group of women. And any excuse to hang out with this group of women in particular, I will take. And you know, that's I think an okay thing to name too, right? Like if it's good energy for me, it's a place I'm going to show up in, even when I feel a responsibility or a duty to create spaces for other women as well. Like it's what's in it for me is always an okay thing, I think, to acknowledge. But Maureen, I'm curious what your answer to that question is.
Well, I've thought a lot about this, and I think it's very, very similar. I think that talking about it inspires me, and I have witnessed how it inspires others. And just to be a small part of that has felt like that's kind of my why. It's why I'm involved with professional development training. It's why it's kind of my why. Like I love the thought that there were young leaders there. And just reflecting on a story not too long ago, there was a lady who came to the first session, and I can't remember what sequence we did it, but we did, I think, at NCF first. And there was a woman in the audience who said that we had them write action goals, and she said she was going to apply for the job. She was going to go for it. And then we saw her again, I think, like at WICSEC or wherever we went next on our roadshow. And she like announced to the group that from one session to the other, she had applied and gotten the job. And it was like, it gives me chill bumps even just talking about it today. Like that was because we as a collective, not just the panel, but like the whole room had inspired her to like go for it. And we had talked about some of the barriers that women, you know, like we don't always ask for what we want, and we don't always ask for the raise. We don't think we're qualified. We gave statistics about how men often will apply for jobs they're not qualified for, whereas a woman will wait till we're way overqualified to apply for a job. So we had kind of given some examples, and we had given some language around like how to ask for those raises. And anyway, I'm rambling, but that story, like just by itself, I'm like, we together as a whole group of women, you know, maybe 50 or 60 in that room, like we changed the trajectory of one person's career because we inspired her. And so that's why I think I believe strongly that women have unique challenges to leadership, and that talking about those are okay. It doesn't mean that we are better than men, or that men don't have challenges. It's just that we do share a collective set of unique challenges, and talking about those isn't a bad thing. And we had a lot of men that came, not a lot, we had a few men that came into those sessions and had really great feedback and told us that they learned things and that they were going to think about things a little bit differently. And it goes back to your comment, Erin, about empathy, like just understanding each other is a big step forward in my mind. So anyway, that's why, and because I think you guys are all amazing, and to be on the same stage or panel as any of you is a good day for me.
Yeah, you know, I think sometimes there's this perception in child sports that it's a women-dominated industry already, right? It's not like I had a job once where I worked did consulting work with a gold mining company. I was the only woman in a variety, in a wide array, right? But in child sport, right, we see women leaders often, and I think though that, and so folks are like, well, like this isn't a problem here because we have women in leadership positions. And I think it goes back to that, yes, and how, what did women have to leave behind? What did women have to shut off within themselves? What did women have to sacrifice to get to those positions? And you know, has that been the same for everybody? And the more I think we can influence less sacrifice, less denial of who we are, and women still are in those positions, it's just going to make the program better because it'll make better leaders.
We couldn't have said it better.
I know. So this week, my daughter's on spring break from college, and she came home for spring break. Not probably not her first choice, and definitely not her first choice to go on a business trip with me to Tulsa. But she did. And she was just adorable and like got all dressed up and was gonna take notes for the meeting. And so we were talking about it afterwards, and like, what did you witness? And it was interesting. She was like, gosh, I just like, it's so complex, and she was just kind of reflecting on like what she wants out of her career. And it was just interesting how she, Erin, like what you said, she doesn't see the path. Like she thinks there's so many obstacles, so many things she doesn't know. And I started thinking, like, I wish I could impart some of that wisdom that we just get from age. Like, it's going to be okay. You don't have to have it all figured out today. You don't even have to know what you want today. Like, it's about like just showing up and being the best you can do at whatever that is in that moment and just, being yourself. Are there thoughts that you guys would have for younger leaders? Particularly Gabrielle. are there dreams for the younger generation or things that you wish like that you had known that you could like say I just believe or like are there things that you guys think about?
Yeah, I mean, this timing is ideal, Maureen, because as you all know, I do have a 30-year-old daughter, and I'm really trying to support her more in her life decisions. And I do think, to your point, the generation gap sometimes can be difficult, but then the experience that we've gained can definitely be beneficial only if they're open to receiving it. And so my son and I actually did a podcast last Sunday, and he asked me, what would I tell the younger generation in general, not just women? And I was able to start the podcast by saying, stay focused on being your authentic self. So in today's time, there's so much focus and pressure on our younger generation to be all of these things, or to be and do what everyone else is doing. And so the biggest thing I would recommend is for them to really take the moment to assess what would bring them peace, not necessarily happiness, because that's temporary, and take steps in that direction.
That's really well said.
Yeah, that's great. It's funny. When I was in my 20s, and I've had this problem most of my life, although it's gotten much better the older I get. Y'all know the story of Ava Perón. Ava Perón became the spouse of the president of Argentina and had a very influential role in Argentinian politics and, did tours over the world to, talk about what was happening in Argentina. And she did it all by the time she was 30. I think she died at 32. And so I used to say I have an Evita complex. If you've heard of the musical Evita, it's about her life, which is I had to do all the things by the time I turned 30. And if I hadn't done them all, I was behind in some way. I have a nephew who I think he's 19 now, and he said to us not long ago, he's like, life's over after 30. Like, you've done it all by 30. And what else is there left for you after 30? And I'm like, oh, honey, like you're just getting going by the time you're 30, right? Like, when we talk about you need to, stay true to yourself, I think so many young people are still trying to figure out what their self is. And so, my advice is the sooner you can do that hard work to figure out who you are, what brings you peace, what your values are, the easier it will be for you as you go. And I think this thing about we all have to be immediately and automatically as successful as we're going to be at the very beginning sets us all up to fail. And yeah, so my wish for younger folks is that they slow down, they take their time, they don't. Yes, you need to know, understand what your next right thing is, but don't get too far ahead of yourself, and really take every opportunity you can at the beginning of your career to get as many experiences as you can, because every single one of those life experiences will help you figure out who you are and who you want to be and where you want to contribute to the world.
That's much more sage advice than I gave. I'm like, be interesting and be likable and have a purpose. And yeah.
Well, I don't think it's that different. I don't think it's that different.
I think that's really great. And it just, like spending the last couple of days with her and kind of watching her in the middle of a room with some really like powerful women and watching her kind of find her place or not find it was just, as a mom, I thought I was really proud of her for like a couple of times speaking up or asking a clarifying question. I thought, I'm not sure I would have even done that at, I started to say 19, but she's 21. So maybe she's on the right track.
I'm sure she is with you as her mom, Maureen. I don't think
I
there's
would agree with that
any doubt about
100%
that.
as well.
And I didn't think about this question until just now, but I've been reading a couple of books, and one of them is about have you all, I haven't had a chance to read the whole thing, but it's about being likable and being okay with not being liked. And I don't, not to put you on the spot, but has anyone thought about that, or is that something that you've struggled with or had any
So, yeah, this
experience
is a
with?
sensitive subject for me. I call myself a people pleaser in recovery,
Yeah.
and I don't take the term recovery lightly. And for a variety of reasons that we won't go into here because we don't got time, I have my whole life looked for external validation, looked for external people to tell me I'm smart enough, I'm good enough, I'm in the right crowd, right? I'm one of the cool kids, and there's some, good reasons that has been important to me, and yet it has caused me a ton of misery and a ton of heartache. And it really, one of the most influential things that I read recently was the book Power that Christy had brought to us as part of starting this whole conversation. And honestly, this idea that power comes from within, that power is something you generate, create, manifest for yourself, that you don't get it from outside, was kind of revolutionary to me. And has done a lot for my recovery journey out of people pleasing. And I think we all, it is human nature to want to feel like you belong. I don't think that, and I think that's okay, right? Like, I want to honor that that is a okay thing to feel, while at the same time recognizing that if you give away your power to other people, you're going to be at their mercy, and you're going to do stuff that doesn't feel true to yourself or authentic because you're worried about that external validation. And that's why I say the sooner you can figure out who you are, the easier it is to access your own power.
Oh my God, Erin. I mean, you pretty much just covered it for me. Really did. I mean, I have to say I've had the exact same experience, especially younger, and earlier in my career. But like Maureen said, as we get older and as we mature, our mindset changes. And so you really start reevaluating what's important. And so I couldn't have said it better, but I do just want to add, you said at the end how important it is to try to figure out who you are as soon as possible. Someone sent me a video, Sharon, as a matter of fact, sent me this video. And I won't go into the whole details of the video, but what really resonated with me was, in the video, it talks about how sometimes leaders, especially women, walk into the room putting an expectation on themselves to match the energy in the room. But this video clearly says that people who are no longer giving their power away, they're not trying to match the energy in the room. You walk into the room and you are the game changer. You set the energy, you set the environment for the room. And I felt like that was not only a huge compliment, but it speaks to the level of commitment you make to yourself when you no longer give away your power.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Well said.
And it's funny, Tangela, when I was at the SAVES meeting in DC in January, and you gave kind of the opening remarks for kicking off that grant meeting, I had that exact thought about you because you had, I really believe in energy. Like you can walk into a room and go, oh, this, like, this doesn't feel good. Like, I'd rather be over there in that other room where they're laughing. And, but you walked into the room and then you walked onto the stage and just like your presence, like it lifted the energy of the room up. Just it, like you could feel it in the room. And that's why I was like, that's my friend. Like I was so proud because I felt it. Like I literally felt your presence. Like you were at a table way far away, but when you walked in and then you walked up to the podium and you like started off the meeting with such like a gusto, I was like, that's my friend up there. Like she's amazing. And so both of you have that energy. And I don't know if you can like articulate what that is, but I think mm-hmm. it is that knowing that you're not giving your power away. And I would love to put the link to the book and the video in the blog that we do for the podcast, because I think those are great resources. And we should probably send that out to the group from the that signed up after the panel.
That's an excellent idea. And thank you so much for the compliment.
Both of you just have such great energy, and that's why I like being around you.
So Tangela, where does that come from, do you think? Like, I'm just curious, like, how do you perceive that for yourself?
You know, Erin, that's a good question. And I'm going to have to give that some thought, because I really appreciate what you said earlier when you said a people pleaser in recovery. That's exactly how I feel about myself. But I'm probably, if I'm being completely transparent, I'm more on, look, it is what it is. I've given all I can give to those external factors and I'm tired. And then, oh my God, when you said you find yourself dealing with so much misery, not meeting other people's expectations, I am just not willing to put myself in that place anymore. And so maybe it comes from there.
Yeah, I think that you're probably right. There's something about, it certainly has happened for me, and I think it happens for a lot of women, where we start to sort of like settle into ourselves mm-hmm. and recognize we do know some stuff. We do mm-hmm. have some expertise. We do have some really great skills, and like we're no longer striving to get a voice or a seat at the table. And now we've got the seat at the table, and how are we changing mm-hmm. the way that that table operates? Who's there? What kinds of conversations are we having? And I think that's part of what, you know, is so great about being at this stage in my career is mm-hmm. that, you know, I do come with a certain amount of confidence in who I am and what I stand for that nobody else is going to be able to shake, right? Like, I don't need you to agree with me mm-hmm. Anymore. Like I might have at one point. Mm-hmm. And frankly, I've just done a lot of work on the ways in which safety has been an issue for me for much of my life. And it's much easier to be the one in the room who is bringing that energy when you have a certain amount of safety, psychological safety that exists in the room for you. I'm sure there are some rooms I would walk into today that I would not be at the same, mm-hmm. Show up in the same way. I also was thinking about when we were talking about sort of empathy and the ways in which empathy really, for me at least, is about how are we assessing the energy in the room, and how are we relating to the energy in the room? But I liked, Tangela, what you said that the pod or the video was about, like, I don't have to ratchet myself down to the energy in the room or match it in a certain way. But still, to have empathy, you have to have an awareness of it, right? So it's not like I'm just going to be like, screw everybody, I'm showing up how I show up and I don't really care what any of you think. It's not that. It's I'm showing up how I'm showing up, and I also care how you are showing up. And I want to be able to build, energy builds among people, right? It's not, when we talk about the energy of the room, it's made up of the community, And so I think that's also something that I think about sometimes is how do I keep my soft heart? How do I keep my empathy without meaning that I'm taking or giving away power, right? Like to me, there's a balance. Because sharing power is a, I think, a good thing sometimes.
It is. I won't go over the whole spiel, but I just want to be clear that I still think there's a difference between being confident and arrogant. Because demonstrating confidence, I think, is a good thing because you're still open. You're still open to feedback and self-evaluation and improvement. And I try my best to stay away from displaying or exhibiting behavior associated with being arrogant, because then that hurts me and the people around me. So I did want to add that about how important self-image is in comparison to how others see you as well.
And I think that comes through, Tangela, in your leadership. There's a certain amount of humility that comes with the difference between confidence and arrogance, and a certain amount of openness. And you demonstrate that very well. So keep up the
Absolutely.
good work.
It's giving me a flashback, you guys, to this. When I was at the DA's office, I got feedback. I was working with a lot of men. And I went to a communication class for women, taught by women. And this is, mind you, I'm 20, early 20s, fresh in my career, and kind of just trying to find my way. And I was told that I like talk too much, talk with my hands too frequently, and I needed to ask permission instead of just like all everybody else was just adding their ideas, but I needed to ask for my. And that really like set me back a lot because I was confident in speaking up. And so it's giving me these flashbacks of like you can be a confident person and not be arrogant. And I never felt like I was arrogant, but it was just the perception in that environment was that if you felt like you had enough value that you could speak up in a meeting, that was considered to be. It wasn't for the men, the group, but I don't even know why I told that story, but the class was very clear about how you could come across as too confident.
Well, and I think it also goes back to the power conversation, right? Like some of us can afford, I mean, we can bring that energy into the room because we have positional power based on where we sit in the organization or in the community. We have power based on our reputations, right? Like I don't ever take for granted that in many spaces I'm in, when I open my mouth, it's going to be heard differently than somebody else. And I try to be very conscientious of the power of my voice and use it for good. And not necessarily for evil, but in my moments of weakness or frustration or when my resilience isn't quite as high, right? I think that's my responsibility as a leader is to always go high, even when I feel like going low sometimes. And yeah, the ways in which we share our power and use our power, I think, is something that we could spend a lot more time all thinking about and talking about. I don't know, Maureen, you have a question on there, I think, about like what does it mean to be lead other women in particular. And it's funny, I have a new boss and she's great, but she's not a child support person. And I sort of at first, and she's, I don't know how old, she's younger than me, but not much younger than me. And I had this chip on my shoulder. I said, my husband, I said, I might have a problem because I don't know if I can work for a woman. Like, I can't be the woman who can't work for a woman. Like that cannot be what happens here. But a part of it, a big part of it for me was How's the power dynamic going to work between? Are you going to come in and exert power over me when you have not yet earned, in my mind, the respect due to someone to be able to have that power? Or are you going to come in here trying to out child support me when nobody in the state's ever going to out child support me?
I love you, Erin.
And I had to change my attitude. I had to be like, you know what? This woman has been put in a position that is new to her. It's a new job. She's trying to figure it out. Like, help her. Stop worrying about yourself.
I really appreciate you sharing this story because I was going to use a similar example to circle back to what Maureen shared. And so, okay, let me just hold on just 1 second. You are 100% accurate, Erin, in how it should be handled. However, I wanted to say to Maureen when she shared her story, I definitely agree with whatever was shared with you that you accepted the difference between being confident and arrogant and making sure that you are aware of the perception associated with it. But that does not negate the fact that there are times where we may have to be a little more aggressive with our voice of power rather than assertive, because I too am dealing with a similar situation that Erin just described. And my boss is younger. She is a smart cookie. Woo! She's very smart. But, during this time where we're trying to get some major changes across the finish line, and a couple of situations have come up where she would like for child support funding to cover some other expenses outside of child support. And that did not go over well with me at all. And I found myself being overly aggressive in those situations. So I just wanted to lift up, Maureen. Sometimes
Yes,
it
and
may
that is
be.
being human, right? Like that's just being a human being. It happens to me too.
Yeah.
My team, there's a meeting we have every 2 weeks that is our with our systems folks, and sometimes I go to that meeting and I'm not suffering fools that day. And we'll get in those meetings and I will start asking very pointed questions and putting people on the spot. And people and everyone else is like, let's get the popcorn. Let's watch Erin tear this person down. And then I get out of the meeting. I'm like, no. That is not who I want to be as a leader. That is that, you know, I will come back to my team and say, I did not handle that well. Do not get excited when I do that. You should be like, Erin needs to get her stuff together. Like, this is not an okay way to act. So I really appreciate you saying that, Tanner, because we have good intentions, and even the best of us are
Well, and I think all of this conversation is the real stuff. Like, this is when you say, I didn't do that well. Let me start again. Or let me apologize for how that may have come across. Or I thought about it after the fact. And from your vantage point, I could see something different than what I could see before. I was in a meeting yesterday and somebody on my teams, they were talking about what they gave up for Lent. And somebody said, well, I didn't really give anything up, but what I'm trying to add is to see things from a different from someone else's vantage point more often. So they were adding something. And so it kind of like at first I was like, oh, that's really good. And then I'm like, could I do that? Do I do that enough? So I've been thinking about that for the last 12 hours. And so now I'm thinking like there is a situation where I think I need to go back and say, I've actually thought about it from your vantage point. I probably didn't handle that well. And I think just that self-awareness of how we like may have done something better shows that we're real and that it's a journey and that you like we didn't get you didn't get appointed to the commissioner and then have it all figured out or not have moments of insecurity or moments like it is a continuous journey and that we didn't make that panel because we were like check the box we like have completed all of the acquired courses read all of the books and now we're
Yeah,
good.
we've arrived. Let us bring you all along.
Exactly. You're right, Maureen. I was like, no, we're not doing that.
I find that if it's something that I really believe in, like it's like, watch out. Like, I'm not going to die slowly. If it's something that I'm like, I mean, it could go either way. I try to be like that, but there are times I'm like, no, I'm sorry. I really believe strongly in this one.
I'm with you on that one. Yeah,
Yeah,
we just
except for don't say I'm sorry in front of it. Right,
yeah,
right.
yeah. I'm like on that.
See, I'm working on it,
Hey, Maureen, one other thing that I think is important to lift up here, if you don't mind, because I think it relates to what we talked about in terms of newer leaders or folks earlier in their career and folks probably later on in their career. And it's a lesson I wish I would have learned much earlier, and that is to take care of yourself.
Yes.
Do not let this job, any job, get the better of you. There have been more than one time in my life where I have regretted the way I prioritized work over other myself, my family, whatever it might be, right? And to the real detriment of my own health and my ability to care for the people I love the most in the world. And so I think sometimes, particularly as women leaders, we feel like that's part of the job is we're supposed to sacrifice. And that I just really encourage folks to put yourself first no matter what.
Erin, thank you so much for bringing that up. I am horrible in that area, absolutely horrible, and I have been for a long time. I keep it on the forefront now. I make commitments to do certain things, but you are so 100% accurate in this area. I don't know if it's just something that we as women do. I don't know, but I am trying to do a better job of making sure that I take care of myself in addition to all of these other things. And it's so hard. So
Yeah. I
hard.
mean, do you
It
ever
can
get to
be.
the end of the night, and especially when my kids were smaller, I mean, they're pretty self-reliant now. And I would get to the end of the night and I just feel mad. I'm like, everybody took everything out of me today and I don't have anything else to give. I'm like, that's on me. I set it up that way. I designed my day like that. I made my priorities. Why am I mad at everybody else? Like, you did it to yourself. If you, it's important to work out. I mean, then make it a priority. You know, like I would get mad that nobody else said, hey, you know what? Maybe why don't you take a little break and do a walk, or why don't you make yourself a lunch instead of like, no one's coming downstairs to tell me I should go upstairs and eat lunch. That's on me. And so I think if you don't do it and we wait around for permission or we wait for someone else to make sure that it happens, it's just not going to happen. And
Yeah.
the other thing I would add, Erin, is that what was kind of game changing for me health wise was I think I told this on one of the panels, when our twins were little, we weren't sleeping and just, it was kind of chaotic. But I also didn't want to quit work because I felt like I wouldn't be a good stay at home mom full time either. So I felt really conflicted and I felt like I was going to die early because I literally felt like the weight of the guilt was just like this heavy suitcase that I was just carrying around, and I felt so guilty about everything at all, like any moment of the day from morning till night. And I just decided, like, so you had these kids and now you're gonna die early because you can't get it together. So you're just gonna have to like then get it together or else you're gonna die. And that literally was like the in conversation with myself. So I started eating healthy and I need to get back on that wagon, but exercising and it's been a constant struggle, but I think like
is.
just deciding that like it's not worth it. The badge of honor is not stress. And it's really like I really admire people that take the time to be interesting and travel and have hobbies, and like your life is not your work. They can really coincide in a really nice way. We've actually done some podcasts on having hobbies, and we're about to release one on volunteering because that's important and it adds so much value to your life. But I think women especially feel like we have to give it all. And if there's any left over, then we can have that.
And that's another thing that I think has been important in my career journey is to even be able to say, yeah, I know everyone thinks that thing is for me, and the messages I get in the world tell me that thing is for me, but I have figured out what actually makes me happy, and it's not that thing.
Yeah.
You know, we talk all the time about self-care, and I think so many of us even look externally to understand what self-care is. And I've had to do a lot of soul searching in the last year to be like, okay, what actually gives you life? What actually gives you energy? What actually fills your tank? And it's not hot baths. It's just not. So, you know, for me now, I think a lot about, okay, what am I doing in my life that is filling my own bucket as self-care? And for honestly, for me, that is being with the people I love most of the time and being in nature. Those are sort of the two things.
I love
This
that.
feels like a therapy session because
It totally does. And I love it.
made me feel so good a few minutes ago because I thought I was the only one that did that. And unfortunately, I still do it and I'm working on it, but I will have like a really rough week or a really rough day, and I'm just mad. I'm mad with the kids. I'm mad with anyone who's around because I use the same phrase. I am always making sacrifices for everyone else, and no one comes in to support me. And my kids are like, "Well, what do you want?" You know, I'm waiting for them to do it, and then I'm mad when they don't. So, Maureen, thank you for sharing. I'm trying not to keep being mad. I'm trying.
Well, and I think it just starts with setting the it's sometimes it's as easy as starting the intention for the day to say, I'm going to do one thing, whether it's walk around the block after work before I start making dinner, or I'm going to do this, or just
For
setting
me.
the intention for yourself. Even a small little thing can make it feel like, yeah, I did that. I want it was important to me and I did it. You guys are the most amazing women. I'm so lucky to be in your orbit and to have even just a little ounce of getting to hang with you and be on the panel with you. And thank you so much for being on the podcast. I don't know. I just feel like I could go out and do anything today.
Oh, me too. Me too. Thank you so
Well,
much.
Maureen, I just want to remind you, thank you, first of all, very much for having us and for always the nice things you say. And I want you to know that. At least for me, I would not be the leader I am without you in my life. So
Yes,
we do it
absolutely.
together.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thanks again to Maureen and Tangela and Aaron for being on the show today and for all the work they do to inspire and lead in our community. We'd love to hear from you and get your ideas and your feedback. And if you'd like to be a guest on the show, please reach out to us on the contact link on our website. News from the Peak is a project of Grace Peak Strategies and is produced by Maureen Life, David Ram, Robert Riddle, and me. You can learn more about us at gracepeakstrategies.com. This was News from the Peak. I'm Joe Mamlin. Thanks for joining us.
How about that one, Aaron?
'Strong infinite women, but I'm like, hey, what's the password?
'Erin. Me too. I know my team is like, oh my God, what is happening? When it comes down to like my phones and my laptop, I just go into this dazzle and distress mode.
Can we just talk about the remote control? Like, I need a strong man to come help me figure out this remote control.
8 That's the truth. Like, I'm strong and independent, and I also need a lot of help.
We could fill up a couple of hours just on our Angela and I are nodding. Erin, you have that way of like taking all of my jumbled up thoughts and kind of making them articulate. So do you, Handler. You're just it did feel like a therapy session, but damn, it was good, you guys.